Please keep in mind, our focus today is vaccine distribution plans in Pinellas County. We recognize that the pandemic is a big topic and a sensitive one, so we're going to limit questions to those specifically about this topic. Chairman Eggers, Dr. Cho, Mr. Burton, thank you so much for joining us today. And Commissioner Eggers, we'll start with you.
With each of you, as best we can, kind of regarding what I consider a fast-changing, fast-evolving vaccination and the actual vaccination process. And I'm not choosing to blame anybody for any of it. We need more vaccine. The production is going on as fast as they can do it. But, you know, our job is to make sure that the vaccines that we are getting into arms as quickly as possible, as effectively as possible, and that we follow up with that second dose. It's extremely important that the efficacy levels be as high as possible, having the signing up, the registration process, and then actually getting appointments. Many of you have experienced anxiety because of that, frustration, anger, fear. And for that, I'm really sorry. We need to do better. I know as we are moving forward now and we're tweaking the system so that it is a little bit friendlier, less frustrating for those of you who are trying to get appointments. Talk a little bit more about what our role is going to be in the we know that we stand ready to continue improving our system so that it's less burdensome for you and actually a little bit easier on you. Rest assured, the rest of the world is not getting out ahead of you. That we have received about 28,000 vaccines ourselves. They are all in arms, and that's a good thing. We had a little rough go of getting them there from a communication standpoint with each of you, and we're working on that. So with that, David, I just wanted to just say a few comments to get the session going, and I turn it back to you.
Thank you, Commissioner Eggers. So that was good, a good start. And overall, how would you say we are doing with the vaccine rollout in Pinellas County?
I just can't and had those vaccines done. Vaccine availability, had increased in the beginning at a faster rate. You know, it's probably starting to slow down just a little bit. I know hospitals have been a little bit slow in getting some. And now, now more than 80,000 of our residents have received their first dose. So I think that's a good thing. I mean, I think we're getting the vaccines and we're getting them in arms. And for now, the reality is that we have over a quarter of a million people that are 65, larger supply from the federal and state government. The demand is always going to be greater than the supply that we have. And I know the federal government, as I mentioned earlier,
And CVS really focused around the long-term care facilities, and Dr. Cho through the state teams focused on our nursing homes. So the networks weren't built out. That's where we stood up the pod systems, and that's where we had to stand up a system that is simply insufficient, and that's people's frustration. They get a spinning dial. Well, the reality is 90% of the people coming into that are going to be unhappy because we don't have the supply necessary. But the people that are there should be able to see where they're at, know whether they're able to get a vaccine or they have to come back at a later time. Or as we've seen, you know, so many times, simply register me and tell me when it's my place in line. What I'm here to say is we've worked with the vendor. This was a major vendor that supplies most of the this type of solution around the state for the larger urban counties, and it's tied in. So where when you register, then when you check in, all the way to checking in at the site and giving you the slot for the vaccine, that it's all one system. We're looking into the state system. And until last Friday, we didn't even know anything about it, but it certainly isn't connected to local scheduling of the slots and or have a registration process for when people come to the site. But I can rest assured this, we've worked with our vendor and we are no longer gonna have 3 o'clock, everybody gets on the website. When we have additional vaccine, first shot vaccine, our system is going to reach out to people that are registered and then invite you into a slot. And that is gonna take time. Not everybody's gonna be invited because the supply is not there. But we're not gonna expect you at that time to go. So we're gonna be communicating out to register on that site. You can do it at 3 o'clock at day or 3 o'clock in the morning, depending upon, you know, the hours of operation of the call center, or on the website of CDR McGuire. But we're that piece of that we're going to fix. And I'm going to ask Dr. Cho, and he's going to go over what's going to occur and when we're actually going to have vaccine. But we understand people's frustration on that. We've been working tirelessly with the vendor to fix it. A lot of people said fire them, but then where do I go? And how long would it take to stand up a new system versus fix this? That's the challenge we faced. I think we're there, and that's our commitment on this next round.
Thank you. Commissioner Eggers, one more. You addressed some of the main challenges that we're dealing with in terms of vaccine supply and demand. As the only elected official on this panel, I'm sure you hear a lot from your constituents. So what are some of the questions you're getting frequently, and what is your message to them?
Well, I think the biggest questions that we're getting right now are the ones that Barry touched on, and that is this whole difficulty of getting into the system. And you can imagine that we have 10,000 spots, and we've made it kind of a call in, register, and then just, you know, kind of first come, first serve. And so what you have is you may have 100,000, I'm making a number here, but a large number of people calling in. And some of those people have two or three devices that they're using at the same time to call in. So the system is being overwhelmed. We've heard from many of our residents who said, yeah, we kind of figured that was going to happen early on. And so, again, when this system has improved to a point now, we are going to be making that set up so that you can call in and have a spot. And so what we'll have is those 10,000 will be invited. Those 10,000 will call in. It'll be a lot different than 100,000 that will overtax the system. And we'll get that part of the process going a little smoother. And then again, continuing to communicate what's going on so that people aren't in the dark. I mean, it is probably one of the scariest things to go through, that you're trying to get a vaccine for your mother or your grandmother, and you know how important it is, or somebody that's older than 65 that also has underlying conditions, and it's just almost a desperation. So that if we can do a better job of, once you're in the system, you're going to get your appointment, and if you're not in the system, at least let you know what we did this week, what we're expecting next week, and what the process is going to be. So I think that will help more than anything. Communication with the state is something we continue to work on and do better with, and hopefully they're going to do better with us. But we just learned last night, for instance, that Winn-Dixie will be coming online this week, and in the state of Florida next week. So there's a lot happening, and we're trying our best to keep our information on the website up to speed with what is going on out there in the world. Hospitals, Winn-Dixie's, CVS's, you know, Walgreens, Publix, and us as well. And so to the extent that we're controlling some vaccines, we're going to do a better job of making sure that people don't have anxiety and concerns and frustrations as they just sit there and wait. And I think that's been probably the biggest concern. And we just want to make sure folks understand that we're doing the best we can. We've got great people working on it, but we need to do a better job in that area.
Well, the other piece, though, that I do want to clarify, though, that's with when we're distributing through our local sites that we control. If you're going through a Winn-Dixie, you're going through a Publix, you have to go to those sites. Those are multi-state sites. And by the way, those contracts are set up by the state. We don't influence those local contracts. So we couldn't, and for instance, expand. We've been asking for Publix for several weeks to be able to expand the capacity to be able to deliver and make it easier. But those are state approved contracts. And so unfortunately, if you register with us, but you want to get a spot at a Publix, you need to go through their system in order to be able to do that.
Yeah. And Barry, that's a great point. I just wanted to, you know, and that's the way with any of these distribution paths that we're talking about. The hospitals are doing theirs quite independently, and Publix is doing theirs independently. We're doing ours independently. We're each of these distribution paths are independent. We're getting the DOH allocation, and that's, we're partnering with the Department of Health here locally. That's our role, and yes, that's evolving as we speak. So, you know,
as the commissioner said, we're going to try to put as much information, timely information, out on our website. Just like how are people going to be chosen, you know, if is in our website. Well, again, we're working with the contractor on that. As those that type of detail comes online, we'll make sure that information's about the same way with, you know, if we hear about Winn-Dixie, the hospitals, you know, or others, as this network builds out. We had a graph at our meeting, and it showed all these different distribution channels, and we were one of those. Unfortunately, we were only one in the beginning, rather than, again, I, you know, use the analogy as a flu shot, where people have lots of different choices, you know, in the method in which they receive that.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Mr. Burton. Dr. Cho, you lead the State Department of Health office in Pinellas County, and we at Pinellas County have been supporting your vaccine distribution plan. So let's talk about that a little more. One question that we certainly get a lot, I'm sure you do too, is that, you know, as of right now, there are a couple different groups who are eligible for the vaccine, a couple different priority groups: residents over the age of 65, frontline healthcare workers, and then medically vulnerable populations. Where can each of those groups look to get their vaccines?
I think Barry's touched on this a little bit as well. Obviously, I think we're going to try to communicate that information out on a timely basis. Right now, one of our larger points of distribution right now are these our paramedic sites, where we use four community centers. They've been doing an amazing work, over 2,000 a day, over 10,000 a week. A lot of it has been targeted towards the 65 plus, geared towards the 65 plus population. We've been working to do some special events for healthcare workers at those pod sites as well. But beyond that too, I think it's key to work with community partners, those hospital groups and medical clinics, to really touch, be extra access points to the 65 plus, to the healthcare workers. Again, as Barry mentioned, Publix's have come online. Some of the pharmacies have come online, and hopefully we'll see more of that. Ultimately, what we want to get to a point is we'll have multiple access points throughout the county, so that geography, transportation is an issue. Obviously, it adds a layer of complexity because of the different registration system, but we're going to work with the community and our various web pages, our media, our communications teams, to make sure that our public knows of all the options and registration systems that are out there. Let me touch base real briefly. Some of the hospitals here in Pinellas County throughout the state did receive a very small allotment to serve the medically vulnerable population that's deemed by a hospital provider. They are developing their own processes internally and reaching out to, I suspect, their own network. So each hospital may have a slightly different system, but they are directing that particular subgroup in the priority groups overall.
Okay, thank you. And you know, another question we get from teachers, frontline, non-medical workers, bus drivers, et cetera, is when can we and our community expect those priority groups to potentially expand and include more people outside those we mentioned a moment ago?
Yeah, and we do get this question a lot as well. Right now, again, going with the governor's executive order, our top priority group, that 1A group, is the 65 plus, the healthcare workers, long-term care residents and staff, as well as a subset, the medically vulnerable by the hospital providers. So that is the 1A group. And the next group below that, if you follow the CDC guidelines, are the frontline essential workers. So I suspect that the state and maybe even at the federal level, when we get to a certain point with that 1A group, we will be moving on and expanding into this 1B group, which does include these frontline essential workers.
And we've heard a lot about racial, cultural, and technological boundaries to getting a vaccine. How is your team addressing that?
So I think it needs to be a multifaceted approach. What we are trying to do is a three-pronged approach, working with community partners, working with faith-based communities, working with organizations that serve the communities of color. We want to get the information out there that there is some disparities out there in terms of vaccine access and administration into Black and Latinx communities. So I think that's important to get to be aware of that. Number two is education, making sure that there isn't an issue with hesitancy, providing information on safety and efficacy of the vaccine, the research that's went into it. And then lastly, we're looking at accesses. So again, working with those community partners, we're going to do more and more of these special events and missions at churches, at various organization sites. So we'll continue to do that. I had a great conversation with the Foundation for Healthy St. Petersburg. They're putting an RFQ next week looking for navigators. So developing street teams where they can help people register, go door to door, carry the iPads, so that can and help navigate through all these registration processes. So with these collective efforts, hopefully we can improve that disparities.
That's great. If we can take a moment to just talk about the vaccines themselves. So, you know, we've seen a lot in the news about Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson. What is available in Pinellas County now?
Okay. It really depends on the site. As Barry mentioned, hospitals were giving a lot of vaccine at one point, the community health centers. But for our main community paramedic sites, we do use Pfizer is the main one we're getting. I know the hospitals and other health clinics have gotten Moderna, so there is those two out there. And keep in mind, it's currently the two vaccines that have been approved are only the Pfizer and Moderna. I did read last night that the Johnson & Johnson just submitted their application to the FDA to get approved, to get that emergency use authorization, which would be amazing. It's a one-dose shot, whereas the other two are two doses. And ultimately, what the benefit for us here locally is that it would ramp up just because we would have a third vaccine of the vaccine availability overall. So we're hopeful that Johnson & Johnson does expedite their approval. I'm also keeping an eye on other vaccines in later phases of the study, specifically AstraZeneca, Norvax, and the more these vaccines do become approved and are available is when we can fully ramp up all these other options and really make a dent in those priority groups.
And so the two available, Pfizer and Moderna, both two-dose vaccines spaced 21 or 28 days apart. What would you tell people how would you advise people about their behavior after that first dose, after that second dose? What health precautions should they plan to take?
So right now, I think the recommendation has not changed. Even if you've gotten the vaccine, they do recommend that it's taking those appropriate precautions. One of the reasons is that when you look at the Pfizer-Moderna trials, they looked at symptomatic COVID disease, whereas what they didn't study was asymptomatic in those particular studies. So one of the thoughts is that wearing the mask and social distancing is still important, especially in a setting where we haven't vaccinated enough of the population to reach that kind of herd immunity, which would require anywhere from 70 to 80%. So in terms of the CDC guidance, in terms of the Florida Department of Health recommendations, that has not changed. So those precautions are necessary until we have enough vaccines in the arms to reach that that herd immunity.
Okay. And last question for right now, Dr. Cho. Obviously, as Commissioner Eggers, as Mr. Burton have said, as you've said, the demand far exceeds the supply. But with that knowledge, I'm sure there are still some people out there who are hesitant about receiving the vaccine when it's available for them. Is there anything that you would say to someone who is hesitant about getting the vaccine and potentially any misconceptions they might have?
I think what's important is to make sure that you get your information through reliable sources. I know there's a lot of misinformation out there, especially in social media. And there was other aspects, right? When we developed these vaccines, they used a governmental program called Operation Warp Speed, in invoking that image of going really fast and implying to some people cutting corners. What I can assure you and the public is that they did the same study that they would do for any vaccines. They did the same 1, 2, and 3 phases that you do for any study. They randomized the studies. They had a sample size of 30 to 40,000 on those two studies. So no corners were cut. And in terms of efficacy and effectiveness of the vaccine, with the two doses, they were both 95% effective in preventing symptomatic COVID and near 100% to prevent severe outcomes. So in terms of effectiveness, it's there. The safety profile was good throughout the eight various age group, various racial and ethnic demographics. So the conclusion with a lot of the researchers, a lot of the physicians out there, is that this medication, this vaccine is both safe and effective.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for that information. County Administrator Burton, so we've seen tens of thousands of vaccines distributed through hospitals, Publix, Pinellas County Department of Health sites, et cetera. And we've talked a little bit about how the registration system might be changing in the coming weeks. But what's next for vaccine distribution in Pinellas County?
Well, it continues to be built out, and that's at a higher level than us. So you read about other, like you said, Winn-Dixie coming online. The original plan was that you would see that at all your pharmacies. But those haven't come online yet, partly probably because of supply. I'm sure there's some contractual issues, and there's capacity issues, as like the Walgreens and stuff are still vaccinating our long-term care facilities. So there's a combination of those that as those processes are built out, it'll make it more convenient and easier. But the reality is we have a supply issue, and it's going to take time. And there's not, if you believe in the vaccine, like we've talked about, you're going to want that now. And we understand that. And unfortunately, we can only distribute what we receive. We continue to push to continue to have those other sites built out. We continue to push the state to support us in these special missions, making it easier and more accessible. We'll have to continue to, we'll try to continue to provide as much information as we have. But I will tell you, it changes daily. So please, be patient, watch our website, continue to get the best information you can. And I see our communication staff, just like David there, they respond to questions on Facebook where we can provide updated information. So we'll continue to do that to the best of our ability. And where we have our county paramedic sites, we will improve that registration and access process.
And for anybody watching on TV who doesn't have access to our Facebook page, the website is covid19.pinellascounty.org. That is updated regularly. One other question. So, it does seem like a difficult process. We have made a lot of progress. How would you say, how does our progress compare with other Florida communities of our size?
Well, I can't necessarily comment on every one, but for the percentage of people that are receiving vaccine, we stand up, I think, third among all the major counties in terms of percentage of the population. That's a bad percentage because it's a low percentage for everybody, and that's a supply side issue. I've heard varying degrees of success regarding the registration process. So in other words, simplicity for people to use. But if you get on everybody's website, get on a county administrator's group, and everybody's struggling with the same issues. You've got a lot of demand and it's a supply side issue. Some had more success than others. Down in Manatee County, for instance, they have a phone bank. That's the way they're doing it. So it's good for right now, but it's not expandable. So there's only so much of a capacity standpoint that they can do. So, people have approached it different ways. And I think over these last two or three weeks have been frustrating for folks. But understand we're trying to work on those issues to where we can expand this out to where when we receive 50,000 doses, we have a way of reaching out to people to where they can easily capture one of those spots. And we certainly hope that we're talking about those struggles soon rather than the supply side that we're getting right now.
Okay, thank you. We're actually nearing the end of our time, but we can try to take a couple of questions from our Facebook audience. Dr. Cho, one question we got. So once the, assuming the Johnson & Johnson vaccine receives that emergency use authorization from the FDA, how likely is it that we will be able to choose which vaccine we get?
It may be difficult, especially in the front end. We do have a limited supply that the state is getting from the federal government for both the Pfizer and the Moderna. It's obviously too early to say what the distribution is going to be like for the Johnson & Johnson. So that may be a little difficult in terms of selecting, especially early on when our supply is so low. Interestingly, they are looking at different studies right now. With AstraZeneca, that's still in the study phase, where if there's, is there a way to mix some of the doses? If you receive one dose of AstraZeneca vaccine, and then one of the other Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. So, but it's really only in the study phase right now. So it's not something that we would recommend. Hopefully that answered your question. Again, early on, I think it's going to be difficult to pick and choose because it's going to be based on availability.
Okay. Thank you. And actually, that's, I think we may leave some time for folks open or closing comments. Dr. Cho, if you want to start, and maybe if you want to give any advice for people watching the Bucks win the Super Bowl this Sunday to stay safe.
I agree with you. I think the Buccaneers are going to win. I think really throughout this whole pandemic, in terms of the preventative messaging, that really hasn't changed. We do still recommend facial coverings when you're out indoors, social distancing, minimize any small gatherings. So, really staying within your social circles, smaller circles. So I think all of that is important. I think the issue we saw over the holidays and the subsequent peaks that we had in terms of cases early January was due to those small gatherings, and we certainly do not want to see the same two weeks out from the Super Bowl from all the gatherings.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, County Administrator Burton. Any final comments?
I think again, we'll try to provide as much information as possible. Get registered through as many different mechanisms as out there, and as the supply side increases, that'll increase your chances of securing one of those spots. And, I think the big issue is supply, and hopefully that'll increase soon. Right now, just please continue to communicate with us. We do hear your concerns and questions, and we are working every day to try to solve them. Thank you.
And to that point, I do acknowledge we had a lot more questions in our Facebook stream that we were not able to get to just because we were limited by time today. We will follow up and attempt to answer those questions after this conversation. Chairman Eggers, any final comments from you?
Yeah, just, first of all, we have been through a lot. This country has been through a lot, but, right here at home, this past year has just been just amazing. So altering and transformative and just things that you wouldn't even begin to describe in your wildest imagination. And yet our staff continues to work overtime. The residents continue to work together and to be kind to each other. It doesn't mean we don't have problems here and there and we don't have challenges. I'm just saying it's really brought out so that we can, see the best in people. We've seen so much of that throughout our county. And I just couldn't be more proud of that effort. And we got a long way to go. We're still waiting for clearly more vaccine. We're looking for better ways to schedule people so that they're not so frustrated and feeling so much anxiety. We're looking to get more vaccines to, places that aren't getting access to vaccines. Some of our ethnic areas, our Latin community, our African American community. We're trying to make sure that we're all kind of evolving through this together. And I just ask you to continue to be patient. To call us, let us know you've got some questions, you've got some problems. Please reach out to us. I know Kim in my office is putting out a lot of information, trying to keep people at least informed. And she is a messenger. So be kind and gentle when you get that information, because she's doing her best to pass along the information that we have to give to you. The last thing I would just ask before we sign off here, two things to Dr. Cho or to Barry. Could somebody just summarize quickly again what we see as the vaccine in arms efforts going on in Pinellas County next week, number one. Number two, you said register in at multiple sites, and maybe you get called to the Pinellas County site, but you've already started your vaccination process. How important is it to call back in and let them know that you're going in a different direction, a different path to free up a spot? Just if somebody could just touch on those two things so that we make sure that we're getting as many vaccines out as possible.
Dr. Cho, go ahead and start.
Absolutely. So, so next week, a lot of, at least Tuesday through Friday, we will be initiating the second doses at our community EMS sites. We are doing some healthcare workers in open spaces in those in during that week at the community pod sites. But beyond that, with the additional first doses, we'll be doing working with community partners to really push it out there. Working with hospital groups, we're working with to administer vaccines. We will be doing senior community centers. We're doing four communities scheduled. We are. Initiating maybe the following week some of our health equity initiatives, doing the faith-based churches, and then working with other partners that that can further administer the vaccine. So we'll keep everyone posted as to some of the points, some of those activities, but obviously there's a lot of different distribution plans going on at this time.
And Publix will have new first doses sometime next week, correct?
Right. And then what's unknown is some of those things that we touched on, including whether we get additional Winn-Dixies or even a Walmart pharmacies that may or may not go live next week. Because in the state of Florida, through the federal pharmacy program, Florida, it's Publix's, Walmart's, and Winn-Dixies. In terms of the location, which counties and which stores, those haven't been announced. I understand it's going to start out slow. But we, at this time, do not know if they're in Pinellas County next week. We're hopeful, but once we get that information, we certainly will share. I missed your question, sir, about the registration.
The other one was on the registration. And my comment on the registration is if you're signed up in through the CDR McGuire site, then we'll reach out to you in the method, and we'll explain the method we're going to use when we actually do that. But there may be others. You see that Publix has a site. Well, you can try to get an appointment through your slot or through that site. If you end up getting an appointment, well, what happened in our system is it would reach out to you and say you have, 12 hours or 24 hours or whatever to schedule a site. Well, you simply wouldn't do that. And so they would move on to the next person. But I'm sure I don't know what the Winn-Dixie site will be. I don't know what the Walmart site will be. So all I was really referring to is there's not an integrated place you can go for any of them. So make sure that you try these until you're successful in getting the vaccine that you need.
So Barry, just real quickly then, what I heard Dr. Cho saying is that there could be vaccine product that's going straight from the federal government to some of the
to the other sites.
Some of the sites. And then there's obviously the state of Florida allocation that then gets distributed to us at the county and other, and that kind of thing. So there's multiple ways this product is getting into Florida. And so it's an evolving, fast changing, and there's going to be multiple ways to get a hold of vaccine.
That is correct. And so, like, for instance, the Publix, they're going to get an amount of vaccine. They're going to announce that separately. We'll try to put that information up to where you know on our website, but they're going to receive that directly. It doesn't come through us. It goes directly through that pharmacy program or from the state to Publix. But we're going to be focusing on second missions. This is for our fire paramedic sites, which the fire paramedics, just as a real quick plug, are doing this on an overtime. God bless them. They've been heroes throughout this entire pandemic with our inspections out at our nursing homes and helping, get control of outbreaks and things like that. So big kudos and, shout out to them. But so through those sites, we're going to be doing second doses, but we're also going to be doing special missions, trying to make sure our frontline healthcare workers, our jail medical staff, other places like that, continuing to build that out because there's simply not enough vaccine to do it all. So, you know, we'll continue to try to keep that balance and build that out going forward. And that's the distribution methods that we're just going to have to continue to watch.
So from our perspective, we won't have any first vaccines for the public next week, we being the county and the DOH together.
That's correct.
Our doses are primarily going to go to second doses that we've started 3 weeks ago.
As we know right now, but Dr. Cho, go ahead, because changes.
So we will. So a lot of our pod sites will be working with the second doses, but in terms of first doses, this is where those special missions working with the hospitals
yes.
come into play.
It won't be open to the general public. It'll be special missions out to those, you know, first line healthcare workers and others.
And the other thing I'll add is that we are looking for larger sites as well, because we are anticipating, hopefully with this approval of Johnson & Johnson, maybe the increased manufacturing capability of the other vaccines, that we do need other sites that are capable of doing even more. So we're looking along those lines as well.
One quick question, Dr. Cho, how are we going to notify people, the ones that have pre-registered in the future, like how are we going to be able to notify them of that they are one of those that are chosen for the next round of vaccines, call in and make your appointment? Is that a distinguishable number, or is it something they're just going to have to be on alert for?
Well, since we're working on that right now. And so the method in which they're contacted, in which they have time to in turn get that slot, that's being worked on now. They're certainly that they can deliver on that, but they haven't finalized the exact methodology that they're going to use.
So keep registering on our system, please, so that once we start getting vaccines, you will be eligible along with a Correct. Lot of other people for the limited doses that we get that week.
Correct.
So. Make sure you get registered.
And for anybody who has not yet, it's www.patientportalfl.com. And that's where you make your account. And we do use that to communicate.
Is there a phone number that they can call to register? Because some people don't have access to a computer.
Yes, I will. We'll post the phone number in the Facebook event information after this.
Again, remember, a lot of people don't have access to computers. That's why I was trying to get a phone number out there. They may not even be able to get on our website to get the number. So,
correct.
Okay. I will get it right now.
Thank you. Thank you, David. I'm sorry about that.
The number is 844-770-8548. I'll say that again for anybody who needs to write it down. It's 844-770-8548.
And that's make sure that you get registered on the county contractor's system, so that when future doses come in, you'll be eligible, and you'll see who gets chosen. But at least you've got to get registered first. Thank you.
Yep. Commissioner Eggers, Dr. Cho, County Administrator Burton, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully we can do this again and continue to provide accurate and timely information to our residents.